Good morning, everyone. How are we doing this morning? Yay, church. Yay, Sunday. All right. All right. So we just want to welcome you today. We want to specifically welcome our guests, too, and tell you about the Connect Room. So if you're new or if you are wanting to get more connected, there's a Connect Room down this hallway, and we would love to connect. Our staff and church family would love to connect with you after service.
Also, this weekend, we have Elmira Fest coming up on Friday and Saturday. And today, after second service, right here in this room, we are having a meeting for all volunteers who are interested in serving so we can fill you in on what and how we're going to do what we're going to do. We are bringing Jesus to Elmira, and we want you involved. And like I said, if you signed up to volunteer, please be in the sanctuary today at 1 p.m., which is right after second service, so we can fill you in. And
so last but not least, Remnant Bible College fall semester starts next week. So, and it's not too late to sign up. So if you are wanting to sign up, you still can. Visit remnantonline.org. Or see Pastor Tim or Noel for more information. So now we're going to hand it off to our pastors.
Good Praise morning. The Lord. What a great day, huh? Isn't it beautiful outside?
Yes.
So I just got to give a great testimony for my mother. Last year, my mom went on vacation to Florida, and she got hit by the hurricane. So this year, she said, we're not going south because of hurricanes. So they went to Maine. They're getting the hurricane there, too. Don't ever vacation with my mother. Never vacation with my mother.
Guess we're not planning that. No, that's not a testimony. It's terrible.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's terrible. I called and tortured her for at least 15, 20 minutes. It's what a good son's for. Amen.
We're praying that all away from her so she can have a nice, wonderful time. But she's with her sisters.
We have divided
and her
prayers
friends,
today.
So they'll have a good time. His are blocked. Yours are blocked. Negative prayers are blocked.
She's so mean
towards
to me
Mama.
Sometimes.
We got you covered, Mom. Aunt Joan, they're probably watching
they
online
probably watching.
Right now. So
sorry, Ma.
I got you covered. Don't worry about it. I'll keep your son in check. But we are so excited to be in the house with you today. Oh, I am. You were here last week. I wasn't here last
no, you
week.
Weren't.
You guys had
Where
great
were you?
Services. I was in Tulsa.
Oklahoma.
Tulsa, we had phenomenal services there. Such a great time. But boy, do I love being home.
Amen.
I love being with all
you
of you.
You are amazing people.
It is. You are honestly the best
it's
of the
truth.
Best. Wherever we go, I'm always bragging about how awesome the people of His Tabernacle are. You are awesome, awesome family of God. We love you guys so much.
This week alone, we've had three pastors call us because of you. They said, your church is so amazing. We were wondering if you could help us make our church like yours. And so what's amazing, you are amazing. And it's getting known all over the East Coast how God is using your lives to change other people.
And it is.
Amen.
It's
exciting.
You are the
you
ones
are the
that
people.
Make His Tabernacle His Tabernacle.
You are pretty cute, though, Rhonda.
Why, thank you, honey.
So this week, my wife and I, if you'll keep us in prayer, we leave this afternoon. We head to Marco Island, Florida. And we'll be flying in. Well, I think we're going to arrive at like 1 a.m., so please keep us in prayer. And we start tomorrow. If you would, we are going to be live on Faith TV. If you do not have the app yet, if you'd like, you can get on your phone. That's Android and or Apple and download Faith Now.
Yep.
That's the app. It's called Faith Now. So your pastors will be on live for 3 hours a day for the next 3 days, starting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we'll be from noon, you said?
Noon to 3, yep.
Noon to 3 will be live on Faith Now Television, which reaches hundreds of millions of people.
It's a lot.
So it's a lot of people. So I brought an extra pair of shorts just
but
in case.
But it's important for you to download the app. Listen, if we think that this whole censoring thing is over, it's not.
It's not.
So get ready for more and more censoring. Download the app so that we can bypass all of the Facebook censoring and YouTube censoring. We need to connect directly with these places so that we don't get our voice shut off. So download the app,
get it. Faith Now, that's an awesome, awesome programming. They have Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They have Ted Shuttlesworth Jr., Senior. It's just a great programming. Also, I just want to encourage everyone as the body of Christ, and I so wish we weren't getting on a plane tomorrow, because I would be the first one lining up to help. Our family and friends in Addison and Woodhull area have been really slammed with the flood, and they need us. They've actually reached out to us as a church because they know that we love to bless our community. So if you are interested in helping, we need physical hands and feet kind of help. So Pastor Cody is going to be heading that up. Call the church office, however you need to do to participate and help our family in Addison and Woodhull with this massive cleanup effort, their experience, their homes and their businesses. So get involved and help out with that.
And I want to say our church family are all safe.
Yeah.
They did not sustain damage.
Yeah.
But listen, we're the church.
That's right.
That's what we're here for. Amen.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you, get a hold of Pastor Cody, and they'll be setting things up to go help out in the Addison Woodhull area. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And today, God, we have a desire. Lord, our desire is not to become religious.
Yes.
Our desire is to become more like you.
Yes, Lord.
Our desire is to touch you, to worship you, to let you know how much
thank
we love you,
Jesus.
So Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill this room. Penetrate, saturate, overwhelm us, God.
Yes,
God,
Lord,
if you can do whatever you want today, Jesus,
thank
because this
Jesus.
Is not our church. This is your church.
Yes,
and we honor you. We pray for those that are watching by live stream. Let the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit invade the room that they're in
Jesus'
name. Lord, as the word is preached, we ask that it will become alive in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's
Amen.
All stand to our feet. Listen, just during worship, we're going to pray. My wife and I are going to be praying for anybody that's ill. So if you're sick, as we're around the front of the altar, just come on up, make a line over here. We'll pray for each one individually. And if there's too many, we'll have the staff jump in. Amen? And we just want you to know we love you. Let's enjoy Jesus together.
Amen.
Come on and clap with us. Sing this with me. Say, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. Come on, you guys know this song. Sing, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here.
Said I feel it in the
atmosphere.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here.
Come on and sing, the power of the Lord.
The power of the Lord is here.
Yes, the power of the Lord.
The power of the Lord is here.
I can feel it in the atmosphere.
In the atmosphere.
Oh, the power of the Lord. With us, guys. Sing, the Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Sing, the Spirit of the Lord.
Of the Lord is here.
Yes, I feel it in the atmosphere.
In the atmosphere.
Can you feel it this morning?
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yes, it's here.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Come on and sing, the healing of the Lord.
The healing of the Lord is here.
The healing of the Lord is here.
I feel it in the atmosphere.
The healing of the Lord is here.
The healing of the Lord is here.
Come on and sing, the blessing of the Lord.
The blessing of the Lord is here.
The blessing of the Lord is here.
I said I feel it in the
atmosphere.
Yes, the blessing of the Lord.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the blessing of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna
say I can the healing right now.
The presence of the Lord,
and I'm gonna get my healing right now.
Right now, I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my.
Come on, say.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my healing
right now.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna.
Come on and split it up, sing.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my. Right now, I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my healing. Right now, I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my healing.
Right now,
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my healing. Right now, I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my
healing. Right now,
I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna
come on and sing, I'm gonna get my breakthrough.
I can feel the presence of the Lord,
and I'm gonna get my healing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my breakthrough.
Once again, come on and sing
right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my breakthrough right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my breakthrough.
The presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my breakthrough
right now.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my
one more time,
right
sing it out.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my
breakthrough right now.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my breakthrough right now.
The presence of the Lord is
giving me life, exceedingly life.
One voice
Jesus, Jesus, your name. Your name, Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we want to break through this morning. Lord, I know at times there are different things that are happening in our lives that hold us back from giving our all to you. Lord, during this time, we just surrender our lives new and afresh. We declare that we'll lay ourselves on the altar of God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. God, we just thank you for the privilege. Sometimes we forget, Father, how honored we are to be in the tangible presence of the Creator, that you have taken time to hear us. You listen to our worship. You watch us, oh God. You love us, oh God. Don't ever let us forget, Jesus. Don't ever let us forget the honor that we have. Don't let us become so familiar that we forget that it's your great love that gives us this opportunity. Jesus, today, just your name sets the captives free. Your name drives out demons. Your name brings diseases to its knees. Your name sets the captives free. Your name washes our sins away. Jesus, your name. Lord, we release the power of your name in this room. In the name of Jesus. I sense in my spirit there's somebody online watching right now. You are having serious lung problems. You've smoked for many years. And because of that, you feel guilty and you just assume that whatever you, the bed you made, you got to lie in. And I want you to know that's a lie from hell. That Jesus will heal you even though you caused it. Even though smoking caused it. God will deliver you and God will heal you. And he wouldn't say it. God don't reveal what he won't heal. So right now, if that's you online, just reach out, touch the television, touch your computer in the name of Jesus. I rebuke right now cancer in your lungs in Jesus' name. I command you to come out right now. I dry up right now that tumor. I command right now even the tissue that has died around it. Life in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for absolute, absolute deliverance. Jesus, even when they go to smell it again, even going by somebody, they start getting sick to their stomach. In the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you that you care about every scene in our life. You love us desperately. And I pray, God, that you'll put within us a greater hunger and a desire for you. We know even faith has been given by you to us. So, God, we feed our faith. We feed our love. We feed our passion, which is you. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Jesus this week. I do that a lot, really. But I was talking to him about the church. And you know, at large, the church really has struggled. I'm not talking here only, but I mean, we've struggled. We've lost 100 folks since COVID. They're either staying at home, watching online, they're in fear, or some of them have just completely walked away from the Lord. Some of them have replaced God for different sports and activities, and they've made themselves other gods, which will cost them their soul. And I said, God, you know, what can we do? What is there as a, you know, maybe something, boom, something exciting to bring them back home? And he said, I didn't tell you to do something exciting. I told you to preach my word. I told you, if you love me, feed my sheep. And you know, honestly, what I love about this house is that you're getting a word that is not compromised. And I said, God, I will not stand before you in judgment and for you to say to me that I didn't give them the pure word of the gospel. And I understand that not everyone's going to respond to that. I understand not everyone's going to like that. But the word is still the word. And we hold the word. And God says, I hold my word even above my name. So I encourage you to have a fresh passion for God and His word. In these last days, we're going to see many people fall away. The Bible calls it the great apostasy. Many people who you thought were very strong in the faith are going to wane and fall off. It's a very sad thing, more sad for God than even for us. But I pray that you be a redeemer, amen? The Bible says if you're mature, restore. That means if someone that you once hung with even at the house has disappeared, go after them. Don't wait for the church ministry to do that. You do that. You're the minister, amen? Love on somebody. Love them back to the kingdom. Amen? Now, sometimes I got to kick them back to the kingdom. I don't mind that either. But one way or another, I just don't want to see people perish. I want to see people have life. Amen? Turn to someone and say, I'm never trading God for anything in this world. There's nothing more important than Jesus. No dollar amount, no fun, no thoughts, no other people are worth my eternity. Amen. Do you believe that? So do I, and so does God. That's why I sent Jesus. Why don't you do me a favor? We're gonna have a meet and greet, but it's gonna be a little shorter today. If you'll go, that means I'm not coming down, because if I come down, you know it's longer. Amen. So let's just take 3 to 5 minutes. Go find somebody you don't know. Say, good morning. I love you. Thank God you're in the house of the Lord. I love Jesus.
Good morning, church family. So good to see you all. I'm good? Okay. All right. We are just going to look at some prayer requests here. So good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Jennifer Sullivan. We're missing you, too. Sorry, I'm just leaning over a little bit. Okay. Hi, Brandy. Yes, we are praying for the kids. We're praying for every teacher, everybody that comes in and out of the school, that they will have total healing and protection all year long, that they will not have any sickness at all. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Good morning, Jenny. Amen, Jennifer. I'm never trading God for nothing. That's so good. All right, let's keep seeing here. I love you too. Talk to us. Give us some prayer requests. Good morning, Amber. Good morning, Marilyn. Good morning, Jill. It's good to see you all. Sorry, I'm trying to look here. Doing a little bit of both. I said Marilyn. So how's everyone doing? Any more prayer requests? Just send them in. Minister McKenzie is going to meet me up here too. So she's going to get on. We love you guys, Brandy. Oh, and look, here's Minister McKenzie.
Hi.
They're right there.
Wow, oh my gosh.
Say hi to everybody.
Hi to everybody?
Yeah.
Look at God. Oh, it's Brandy Wise. It's Marilyn Amorosi. Hi, camera. Thanks, Ben. Good morning, Pastor Kevin Jackson. Jennifer Sullivan says, I am never trading God for nothing. We miss you, Jennifer. I hope you're in Indiana, right? Yeah. Oh, Tammy Johnson says, pray for my legs, please.
Absolutely.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for Tammy's legs. God, we rebuke the pain.
Yes.
Jesus, we rebuke the cause of that pain, Lord. We take authority over any spirits of infirmity that might be attacking her legs right now. And we just thank you and praise you in advance for your miracle working power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
We love you, Tammy.
Yeah, safe travels, Jennifer.
Oh, sorry. Safe travels, Jennifer, if you didn't hear me. What's a new thing, guys? We're doing a new thing.
It's Deborah.
Good morning, Deborah.
It's Debbie Jones.
Oh, you're in Virginia. Sweet.
She's usually at the front worshiping.
She is at the front.
She's getting it.
Yep.
Up there.
Oh, yeah.
This is a good time.
Yeah.
Ben, can you show everybody your face? You can't show everybody your face.
Yes. Cumberland Shiloh. I don't think I've ever heard of that, but that's cool.
Amber,
all right.
Are you related to David Orr? I think he's usually here. Oh, okay. We'll say goodbye.
All right. Well, we got to go. We're getting ready to start the rest of the service, so we'll see you guys.
guys. I'm sorry to look here.
Love y'all.
Awesome. You're such a friendly church. This is awesome. You may go ahead and return to your seats if that's possible in this house. We'll gather you back together. This week is Elmira Fest. Elmira Fest, Friday and Saturday. Somebody help me with the time. Brittany, what time is it? 5:45, Friday and Saturday, p.m., 5:45 p.m., we'll have inflatables and food and a great, powerful word from God. Listen, we're giving away a bunch of stuff, some bill pays and stuff, but we're giving away a car, too, and that is from your generosity as a congregation. Our Kingdom Builder seed that we participate with every week makes it possible so that when these events come up, we don't even have to stand up here and say, oh, we have this need for Elmira Fest. No, the money is already provided for us to do these outreaches because of your Kingdom Builder seeds. So remember weekly when you're giving your tithe and offering to pray, God, where do you want me to sow? What event do you want me to sow in? What ministry do you want me to sow in? We're able to do so many wonderful things in our community and around the world because of Kingdom Builders, because of you and your giving. So not only give, but make sure you show up this week too. Show up and greet your community. Be a part of the community. Share the love of Jesus with your community. It's going to be a phenomenal time. So make sure you plan Friday, 5:45, and Saturday, 5:45. Yeah, that's for help. Yes, and if you would like to help, there is a meeting right after church today. What time? Around 1 o'clock for the helpers. But I'm not even talking just about help. Like, can't they just come? You can just come. You can come and attend and put your name in for the raffle for a free car, too. Everybody gets to participate with that, except for my children. Mindy got so excited on the front row when I said she could participate. Our children never, what's that? Everyone. Yes, everyone. Everyone can put their name in, except for our children. I'll do that for my husband's sake. Oh, I know, Mindy. So disappointing. God's blessed you guys. They have testimony. They can't wait to give their testimony. All right. Anyways, we're just going to receive our tithe and offering this morning. In this house, we just love to give. It is a blessing of God, of seed time, harvest, tithing, open heaven, that we love to walk under an open heaven. There is nothing greater than making sure the windows of heaven are open over our lives, whether it's finances, sickness, the promises, the covenant, whatever it is, I just want to be under an open heaven. No matter what's going on in this earth, our money gets out of the natural and gets in the supernatural when we participate with the kingdom in our finances. So this morning, if you're ready to give, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. We're going to prophesy over our money. We're going to speak over it. We're going to send it to do what it is supposed to do, and that's breakthrough, increase, prosperity, whatever you have need of. My God shall supply it. I love that part. My God shall supply all of your needs. But listen, just not according to your limited thinking, not according to your checkbook. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. So when He supplies your needs, He walks on pavement of gold, by the way. So when He gives, it's according to His riches. So let's prophesy and speak the word of God found in Deuteronomy 28 over our money. And we know it cannot return void. It has to perform what it is sent to do. So repeat it after me. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Say the presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Yes, I can feel it.
I feel it in the atmosphere.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord,
the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Sing the blessing of the Lord.
The blessing of the Lord is here. The blessing of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The blessing of the Lord is here. The blessing of the Lord is
priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever. I am a treasure. My comfort, I am His, and there's nothing better.
Come on, give another hand clap this morning. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Aaron. This is his second week. He's done 2 weeks already of VBS. He and his team. This week, I believe in Horsehead, you had about 100 children. Amen. How about down in Mansfield? How many? A little lower, 10. Amen. This next, actually tomorrow you start in Ithaca, is that correct? And if you'd still love to help out raising these children, listen, we're not babysitting, we're training the next generation how to be ministers of the gospel, amen? So if you'd love to help up in Ithaca, if you'll grab a hold of Pastor Aaron, he'll make sure that you have opportunity. I'm going to have my wife, Pastor Rhonda Jean, please leave the room. Get.
Good morning, everybody. I want to wait, giving her like 10 seconds to be safely out of earshot. So, next week is Pastor Rhonda's birthday. Next Sunday is the party here for us to celebrate Pastor Rhonda's birthday. And I just want to encourage you all to be mindful and be praying and be thinking about how you will bless her next week for her birthday. I want to share a scripture with you. As I was reading yesterday, in 2 Chronicles, it talks about when Solomon was gathering all the materials that he needed to build the temple. And there was this king, a foreign king, the king of Tyre, who he had an alliance with, and he asked the king of Tyre for help. And the king responded, when he responded in his letter, he said to Solomon, he said, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 11. He says, because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them. And this really struck me because this guy was not saved. I mean, he was not a believer. He was not a Hebrew. But he recognized that God loves his people so much that he gives us amazing leaders. And so we want to honor our leaders. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And I know that we can all agree, and I'll let you agree with me with an applause in a moment. Will you please agree with me that our leaders rule well? And they are worthy of double honor. So as we celebrate Pastor Rhonda next week, I just ask that you purpose in your heart to bring a blessing to her that will reflect double honor that she is due as one of the leaders over this house. Amen? Amen.
Praise the Lord. I love my wife. I'm so thankful for her. She's such a great woman of God. She's genuine. Amen. And I'm very blessed to have her in my life. Today, I'm going to do something I haven't done in probably 10 years, if not more, and that is I have only written scriptures. No, you need to pray. My God, I love him. The reason I write notes is because I can preach, not as long as Kenneth Copeland. He preached 3 hours, but I love to preach, and I love to preach because I love sharing the word. I believe the word is life, amen? And I believe the word, without it in our lives, we are void of faith. The Bible says you cannot please God without faith. So if you're devoid of the word, your faith levels diminish, which means you please God less. Somebody said, well, can God love me less? God can't love you less. But the fact is that you can please God more or less. How many of you want to please God more? I said, how many of you want to please God more? How many of you just don't care? And don't raise your hand. Amen. You know, it's important to make sure that you're growing your faith. We've been talking this whole year. This year has been about changing forward. And changing forward is important because God is going to do a new thing. Now, it's not that anything is actually new according to our verse for the year in the book of Isaiah. But what happens is simply many times the resurrection and the life will bring life back on something that has died within the body of Christ. It's called revival. Everybody say, I need revival in my life. What is revival? Revival is revitalizing something that was once alive but is now dead. You can see that in your own walk with the Lord. If it's hard to come to church, then ultimately you need revival in your life. Well, that got quiet. I said, if it's hard to come to church, you need revival in your life. If it's hard reading your Bible, you need revival in your life. If you never pray, you need revival in your life. Revival means you were once alive in Christ, which means you had a passion and a drive that literally took a hold of your life and directed your life. We talked about vision. You and I don't live according to our circumstances, and that is where our vision is. Our vision is set in standard, and that is the Word of God, and our life wraps around the vision. And the vision is simple, and that is that God loves people. Amen? How many of you know that Jesus loves you? I said, how many of you know that Jesus loves you? Amen. Come on now. We're a Pentecostal church. Last time I checked, say amen. Amen. So we've been talking about the job of the church and why you're here. Everybody has different gifts. Some people can sing. I cannot. Some people can dance. I definitely cannot. Some people can preach. I definitely can. It's really my gift. But even though I have that gift, every one of us have the same exact gift that starts off. We all have the same purpose, and the same purpose is that we do what Jesus did. How many of you know that? We are called to do what Jesus did. Yeah. Jesus did two things while he was here on earth. Number one, he preached the gospel. He shared the faith. He shared the good news. He shared that he was the Messiah that came to wash away sin. And number two, Jesus preached and Jesus healed. And today I want to remind us, we can have all these other gifts, and we all do. We all can do diverse things. That's called the body of Christ. Every one of us fitly formed together to do the work and will of God. But yet, bottom line, we all have the same call. We all have the same job. The church at large has ultimately lost the vision of their purpose of remaining on the planet. I'm going to remind you, when you're not here doing your God's will, then why are you here? I believe that many have died young simply because they're not doing God's will. There's no reason for them to be on the planet. Brother Tiff actually goes to the point of preaching, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, to the place of preaching, that as pastors resign, come on now, and retire, many of them will die before their time simply because they no longer are doing God's will. They're just retired. I want you to know there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you've got breath, you've still got purpose. And our purpose is simple. That is to share the gospel of Jesus, the good news that without Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. You can be a nice person. You can be a sincere person. You can be a religious person. But without the blood of Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. And if the church doesn't believe that, the church doesn't preach that, the church doesn't exclamation point that truth, then what happens is people perish, and let's be honest, people are dying every single day. Say amen. Amen. They're dying young and they're dying old. But the fact comes down to when they take their last breath, there is no purgatory. There is no second chance once you take your last breath. You are in eternity, and the decision that you made, either to have Christ pay for your sins or for you to pay for your sins for yourself, that determination is now set in stone. You are now either going to be separated from God for all of eternity, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Or if you've accepted Jesus, you will be with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have a choice to make. And as a church, I'm concerned at large. I'm not just talking here. I'm able to preach here. I'm able to preach online. I'm able to preach in different areas of the world. But the fact is that if the church doesn't actually believe that Jesus is the only way, then we will not share the truth. Because there are other options. If there are other options, then Jesus died on the tree for nothing. There's one sacrifice that was given that nothing else can take away. That's the sacrifice of the Messiah. As he gave his life, he said, no man took my life, but I gave my life. When Christ gave his life, at that moment, everything transitioned for you and I. Because now we, especially us Gentiles, have the right to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. How shall we neglect so great a salvation? It is a dangerous thing to play Russian roulette with the blood of Christ. It is a dangerous thing to take Christ's blood and play with it like it has no meaning and no purpose, and that you can pick it up and throw it down whenever you desire. The fact is, this is not cheap grace. This cost God his all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this is a costly gospel. It costs the Father his Son. That gospel that we preach is one that we have got to stay tight to. The people you work with, the people that you call your family, the people that you hang with, the people that you used to party with, if they do not know, how will they make a choice? Say it again. If people don't know, how can they even make a choice? If the church is silent, how will the world know there's no other name under heaven which shall be saved but by the name of Jesus? If the church remains silent, now I'm not talking the building. You and I are the church. You and I are the body of Christ. God has filtered us into this world in diverse manners to where some of us are literally around a group of people that nobody else will be able to share the gospel with. But we are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But yet the Bible says it is the only power unto salvation. We've got to get back to truly believing that the Bible is true, and not just because it's a nice text or makes us feel nice, but that the word is truth. And without it, people will perish for all of eternity. I've hung around a little bit with this guy named Rick Simons. Very unique individual. Rick is in the back right there. Rick, wave at everybody. Amen. Rick Simons. Rick Simons is really fun to hang around. I'll tell you why. Because no matter where he is, he's going to tell somebody about Jesus. Every single server is uncomfortable around Rick Simons. When they come to bring food, he starts breaking the manner, and he starts, you know, just opening it up with laughter. And then he's going to share Jesus with them. There's a guy that's just so much fun to hang around because he's always sharing Jesus. He's unashamed. Here's my question for us. Only you can answer it. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed that someone's going to reject you? Are you afraid that someone is going to laugh at you? Why don't you share Jesus with people? Only you can answer that. We've all got our reasons. But understand that every excuse is our ability to make ourselves feel better when we lay our heads down on the pillow. It doesn't mean it's true. It just makes us feel better. Say amen. Amen. So we've got to start stepping out and being bold in the gospel and sharing Jesus. The worst they can do is, I got another picture this week. I was popular this week at Target. So I've been at Red Robin so far, Kohl's so far, and this week at Target, in the men's bathroom on the wall. I actually called the manager yesterday and said, could you take that off for me? She said, sure. Thank God for Sean. He eliminated him from two other ones. But you know something? I don't care if somebody writes my name on a stall door. I didn't even understand what they were writing. I had to ask for deciphering. I didn't even know where a Grindr account was. Someone just said, oh, wow. I had to ask my children what that was. It doesn't matter what people, you've got to make a decision that I'm not in this just to get to heaven by myself. Amen. I'm not in this just to do a nice little religious thing. I'm here because God has a purpose for me. God has designed me. He has placed me in my circle of influence. And I am the only voice of heaven that somebody's going to hear. They might not accept Jesus now. I remember not too long ago. I don't know where I'm going because I told you. I just got a bunch of notes there. I haven't even touched them yet. Here we go. I remember I got a text message, a messenger about 2 years ago from a guy, honestly, I don't even remember his name. And he said, I just want to say thank you. Yes. You shared Jesus with me in high school. I don't even remember him in high school. And last year, I gave my heart to Jesus. I was just going to say how many years I've been out of high school, but I'm not going to do that. It was a short period of time. Decades. After I shared the gospel with him to when, come on now, the seed took root. Even though somebody might reject you, you got to know that the word cannot return void. Be bold. Come on, shout it out loud. I'm bold. Shout, I'm very courageous. Shout, I am unashamed. I will share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're bored with your Christianity, that's why. If you are sharing the gospel with people, you're not bored. If you are bored with your walk with God, well, you know, I just tried that religious thing. It didn't work for me. No, no, no. This is not a bicycle. If you share the gospel, you cannot not be excited about Jesus. If you are bold enough, man, people will always be magnetized to you because God will know that he can trust you with the message and that when you start to speak it, the deposit is in their heart and that God will draw them. God is using you for one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. You got to know how important your life is. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can preach a lot of messages And you throw me a topic and I can preach it to you. I've been preaching now for almost 34 years. But this is the key message. Because when the church loses this key message, then are we actually still the church? I'll say it again. If the church loses this message, then is the church actually still a church or it is a social club? Where we have our friends, we sing our kumbayas, we throw George in the plate, we get free babysitting, and we feel good because we gave a car away. Or are we talking the gospel that without it, someone's not going to heaven? We've got to make a choice in our life. What are we in this thing for? And some of us are in for the wrong reason. And Jesus proved that. I don't know if you know he proved that. In John chapter 6, have you ever read John chapter 6? Especially John 6, 6, 6. That's actually a verse. Jesus stood up and he had a large crowd following him. And he sat back and he started sharing. Come on now. He started sharing. If you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you cannot be part of me. And a whole group of them said, he's a cannibal. He wasn't talking about cannibalization. He was talking about the death and resurrection. But they didn't get it. So the Bible says they all left Jesus, but the 12. You see, a lot of people are in things for the wrong reason. Why are you in the kingdom? Why are you saved? Why do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church because I went for the wrong reason. That's stupid. Change your reason. It's important that we know that we are the only hope this world has. Without the church, there is no hope. Without the body of Christ, there is no salt. There is no light. Without you and I, and when the trumpet of God sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. When the church is gone, that's when all hell breaks out on the earth, because the enemy, the Antichrist, has free reign to do whatever he wants to do. It's time to know that God has called us, and Jesus is coming, and it's time for the church to arise like we've never risen before. It's time for us to be who we've been called to be. Me and stop sitting around on our high knees. Come on now and getting little hemorrhoids. Say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus preached the gospel, but he also healed. These are the two things that cannot be separated. Even when you look at the book of Acts, wherever you saw the gospel, you saw the power. Wherever you saw the power, you saw the gospel. Whenever you saw Jesus, wherever you heard the gospel preach, you saw healings happen. Whenever you saw healings happen, you heard Jesus preach the gospel. So this is part of not the preacher's life. This is part of your life. Turn to someone and say, God wants to use me in miracles, signs and wonders, and healing. This is important. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I go to the Father. The fact is that Jesus, we preached it last week, we've already preached 2 weeks, how you know it's always God's will to heal. Not sometimes, but always God's will to heal. How do we know that? It's part of the covenant. If you believe it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, then you've always got to believe it's God's will to heal. If it's God's will to heal, how do people get healed? People get healed because God sends a messenger, just like he does with the gospel. You are literally the conduit of heaven. You are literally the vessel of heaven that God has raised up on this earth to not just share the gospel, but to be a person that God will use to usher healing and miracles through. There are miracles in your hands. There's signs and wonders waiting for you. But the problem is, if the church don't believe it, then it will never happen. We need a revival. We need a revival. I said, we need a revival.
Amen.
I said, we need a revival. Amen. Shout it out loud, Jesus, revive me
with the gospel.
That means not only in word, but in power. This is who the church is. This is who you and I are. This is what God has placed us on this earth to do. Every other option is just a nice little thing that we do on the planet. Yes, it's storing up treasures in heaven that moth and rust cannot be destroyed. But the fact is that why we are here is to share Jesus like I just talked about. But also, God wants to use you to heal the sick. So the message will not be just one of word, but of power. So I want to talk about it. How do I pray for the sick? How do you pray for the sick? I've been blessed to be around some of the greatest healing ministries in our times. I've been blessed to be around and have been prayed for and literally ministered with some of these great men of God. And over the many years of ministry, I've learned how to pray. Now, if you've not joined Rock Solid Faith, that is something that you're going to struggle with, because you need to know what you believe. Can I hear an amen? You need to understand why and what and how God wants to use you. I can brushstroke it here, but I can get into it in Rock Solid Faith. And it's important that you know that healing will come through your hands. Look at your hands for me, please. Shout it out loud. There's healing in my hands. There are miracles waiting to be released in the name of Jesus. One of the things that I found is understanding the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us his name and made the declaration, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. You know, there's names that have great authority. And when you have that authority and you bequeath it or give it to somebody else, they can act on your behalf. And we know it as the word power of attorney. But Jesus gave us a name, and you and I are, listen now, we cannot heal the fly's wing. Can I hear an amen? You and I cannot heal a big toe on an elephant. Say amen. I don't know if they have them. Do they have them? Yeah, They have what? They have a hoof? See, don't say no. You're assuming. You and I are not the healer. Everybody go, shoo. Now, that's great to know, because many people feel guilty if they pray for something and nothing happens. And so they say, well, I guess that's not my gift. Everybody in this room has the same gift. And that is, God has called us to heal the sick. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. If you're a believer, stand to your feet and shout, I am. That was really quick. Here we go. Let's try it again. You got it. No, you can't. You can't start over. We're going to start over. Here we go. We're going to start over. Yeah, you got it. There you go. Here we go. You got it. Again. If you're a believer, shout, I am.
I am.
Well, we were closer. Let's try it one more time. Here we go. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you're a believer, stand your feet and shout, I am.
I am.
You just made hell shudder. Because if they actually, listen now, they know if you actually believe this, they know if you actually start living this, they're going to start losing souls, amen? They're going to start losing, come on now, control over people with sickness and disease. We're seeing it now more than ever before. Sickness and disease, not just in the world, but in the church. Why is that? Because the church has to have a revival of the word of God, that it's always God's will to save, and there's no other name but Jesus. And that healing is part of the bread of the sons and the daughters. Say amen.
Amen.
What's that, love?
Elephants have five toes.
Elephants have five toes. Oh, come on now. She needs to get a microphone for this one. Say
that
again.
You were right, honey. I was wrong.
No, you need to say it a little bit louder because I don't think I heard it.
Elephants have five toes. You were right and I was wrong.
Sermon complete. Satan and eternity recognize the name of Jesus. Listen now, people are using that name as cuss words, Jesus Christ this, Jesus. I mean, you hear it all over the place. You remember in the old days it used to be they would bleep that on TV? Now they don't bleep GD, they don't bleep Jesus Christ, they don't bleep any of those swear words, they'll only bleep the S word. Isn't it amazing to realize that literally we see the denigration of the actual authority in the name that's above all names? Philippians chapter 2 says that God has given him a name that's above every single name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. On the earth, under the earth, and above the earth are all going to kneel and declare that the name of Jesus, that the one who possesses that name is truly the master, the king, the Messiah, the risen Lord, and he also will be the judge. See, that name is powerful. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you are releasing heaven. You can pray in the name of Michael, and everybody goes, huh? Especially when it's spelled wrong. I do want to give a shout out to my second son, who named his second child, second name, after my first name spelled incorrectly. Glory to God. You can pray in the name of a church, and guess what's going to happen? Nothing. But when you pray in the name of Jesus, this is what happens in heaven. Hold on. Did you hear that? In the name of Jesus. Hold on. Come on now. Angels, get ready. It's delivery time. Let's make this happen. In the name of Jesus. Whoop. Holy Ghost. Release the anointing. Release the power of heaven on earth. I call those things which are not as though they already are. Ah, my God declares, when you say the name of Jesus, he'll deliver. Come on now. Pray anything in my name, and the Father will give it to you. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Sometimes I just stand up here. You hear me after worship, and I'll just say the name of Jesus. I'll just say the name of Jesus, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a devil in this place, he's going to flee. If there's sickness in this place, it has to submit. Can I hear an amen? If there's somebody not saved, I know God's going to start to draw them with the very name of Jesus, the very name of Jesus, the very name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. You notice the disciples did not run around in the church name. Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and be whole. What happened to that man? They reached down and grabbed him by the hand, and a man who was paralyzed at the gate, beautiful, we don't know how many years, but decades, literally his body had had a creative miracle. His muscles formed. Come on now. Atrophy disappeared. You found the bones and the marrow all getting the strength, and what was broken was now set free. And here's this man jumping and dancing. Now, wouldn't you be jumping and dancing? Jumping and dancing in the temple, declaring the goodness of God. Even though that was a good thing, they got in trouble for it. Remember, when you start praying in the name of Jesus, get ready for some trouble. The devil knows that if you start praying in the name of Jesus, you're going to start releasing the power of heaven on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The way to get heaven to earth is through the name of Jesus Christ. God recognizes the name of Jesus Christ. God knows that when you pray in the name of Jesus, that miracles, listen now. I know people that live wrong. I'm talking like they're living in sin. I'm talking they are not serving God. They once were, but they are backslid. I'll give you an example. David Nunn Sr., one day, David Nunn Sr. had one of the largest tents in the 1950s. I had the privilege of knowing his son and also sat a little bit under his ministry. And one day he took us aside and he started talking to us. And he said, you know, as one of the great tent revivalists and the voice of healing ministers of the 1950s, he said, you know something? He says, I want to remind you that you don't judge somebody according to their gifts. You judge them according to their integrity. He said, and I'll tell you why. He said, one day I got on an airplane. Back in those days, you know, they could smoke on the airplane and drink on the airplane. And so he said, I got on the airplane to go to my next meeting. When I got on there, he said, two known evangelists, I won't say their names because you'll know them. He said, two known evangelists were sitting there with a whore under one arm and a drink and a cigarette in the other hand. And they said to him, David, come on now, why don't you just grab a drink and sit down and relax with us? We'll just talk and laugh. And he goes, no, sir, thank you very much. And he kept moving on. And what it is these guys stopped them because they felt guilty. And they said, you know, David, when we get up there, God's going to use us. Listen, God used an ass. Why wouldn't he use you? It's not that you can be used. It's that you're pure when you're used. And they said, you know, David, that when you get up there, God's going to... I knew another evangelist that actually came to this town. God was using him in a mighty manner, but yet he was doing his secretary and stealing money, threatening his wife, actually shot a gun at her head. But when he prayed in the name of Jesus, I want you to... Listen, this is what I'm telling you something, because everybody in this room is saying, but my past, but, you know, I'm not perfect. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm not like you. Well, you don't know who I am. The fact is that God will use an ass. God will use you. God will use me. God says, listen now, I want to use my people. And when we have the right heart in saying that I want God to use me because I want him to have glory, then listen, he will still use you just like he would have those guys on the airplane, but yet he'll give you a reward and they lose. So don't always think that you got to be perfect. Turn to someone and say, I know you're not perfect. Look at my aunt, didn't look at anybody. She didn't look at nobody. Do you hear my wife? She says, you're perfect, honey. Come on now. in the name of Jesus is the key. The Bible talked, and the word Jesus said to Peter, he says, I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom. Some of you use Jesus' name still as a cuss word. And I want you to recognize that the Bible says that we shall, in the Ten Commandments, that we are not to profane the Lord's name. You know, you could say almost any other cuss word, but don't be saying the name of Jesus that way. And I'll tell you why. And don't tolerate people saying it around you. Correct them. I'll tell you why. Because what it actually does in the spirit realm is more than what it does in the natural realm. And that is this. If you can delineate, degenerate the name of Jesus, then when you pray it in authority, it means nothing. The enemy's working to make the name of Jesus nothing, just a cuss word. And you and I got to rebel against that. Can I hear an amen? Amen. How many of you like being rebellious? Honey, raise your hand. There's good rebellion and bad rebellion. I rebel against the devil all the time. Come on now, rebel against the devil. Man, you got to take back. We got to understand the power in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? So here we have Jesus. Let's just talk about Jesus. Because if Jesus said it, he said, then you can do it. And in Matthew chapter 8, listen, that's not going to work. What's that, dear? I heard you mutter. I want you to know that Jesus never prayed to God for someone to be healed. You ever pray? You ever have somebody pray for you? And they pray for 20 minutes. Oh God, we thank you that today, that thou art the exalted one on heaven's balcony, that thou shouldest look down upon us, these feeble men, and that thou wouldest look into our hearts and see that we are contrite and broken. Oh, thou most gracious Lord, thou heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldest move on our stead. Jesus never prayed that way. Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. And I want you to understand this. He didn't have to pray in the name of Jesus. He was Jesus. But what Jesus did do is Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught us that he had given us authority. Turn to someone and say, God have heaven's authority. Jesus had heaven's authority when he walked on this earth. That's found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus was given all authority by the Father. And then Jesus turned and gave us authority. Now, when Christ moved in authority, that means he didn't need to go ask the Father to use the authority. Many of us think we got to have the right prayer to get somebody healed. That is not true. You have to know your authority and do what Jesus did. I love what Jesus did. Jesus spoke to the sickness. When Jesus would heal somebody, he would usually in different manners. I'm going to tell you a few of them. First, we see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the elementary principles of heaven, that Jesus taught us to lay hands on people. What happened? Brother Buddy. When you lay hands on somebody, it's not how hard you can hit them. It's recognizing what happens when you lay hands on somebody. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why lay hands on the sick? Because you know that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you, and Jesus has given you, shout me, has given you authority to act as he did when he was here on earth, and then to cap it off, he gave us his name that when we pray in the name of Jesus, heaven recognizes and moves. So the laying on of hands, the Bible says that you are anointed. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed. What is the anointing? The anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit abide? Inside of you. So because you are now, come on, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Heaven's power that raised Jesus from the dead is not in heaven. Where does it dwell? In you. This is the problem with the church world at large, is the church is not being taught that they are the powerful entity on earth as God has called us to be used to bring heaven to earth. And that comes through the anointing. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Bible is very clear. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, that the anointing abides within you. What happens is when you lay hands on somebody like Jesus did in the book of Matthew chapter 8, he laid hands on Peter's mother-in-law. You know that's love. He laid hands on Peter's mother-in-law and the fever left her. He didn't even pray. He just knew his authority. The more the church understands their authority and why we're here, then we don't act like ourselves. We act like him. So when you lay hands on people in the name of
Jesus,
let's just say Buddy has a hangnail.
Do you think Jesus would even care about a hangnail?
Jesus even cares about your hangnail. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 that he took all of our pains, physical and emotional, and sorrows, and he took them on the tree. So what happens is, it all comes down to believing. These signs shall follow them that believe. Many Christians don't believe anymore. They stop believing. When I lay hands on him, and in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. You can't see it. You might feel it. You might not feel it. But it don't matter whether you feel something. What matters is what you know. When you know that when you do what Jesus did, listen now, you don't have to be nervous. Get your hand off my waist. He was hanging on. Now be nervous. No, just kidding. When I lay hands on him in the name of Jesus, what happens is heaven's paying attention. And then because I've been given authority to act in Jesus' stead, if I do what Jesus did, I can get the results that Jesus accomplished. Greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. Is that true or is that a lie? So I lay hands on him in the name of Jesus, believing that when I pray for him, the power of God is going to go into his body. And when I speak to that hangnail, I can command it in the name of Jesus to stop. The difference between here's the challenge for many believers. I'm going to end with this today because this can be a two-hour message. I can't. We have another service coming in. The challenge is because so many have not been to rock-solid faith and do not understand how heaven works. They don't know the difference between a miracle and a healing. See, if I lay hands on somebody in the name of Jesus, and I have faith to know that when I lay hands on them and release the anointing, that heaven's power has been released. Everybody wants a miracle. We're from Burger King world. We want it now. We want it our way. Sometimes God moves in miracles, which is an instantaneous work of God that many times takes no faith. Or God works in what we call a healing. Healing is different. Healing is a progressive work of God that even if you can't see it, it's yours. Let me give you an example. Dr. Hagen puts it in one of his books. There was a woman who had a goiter on her neck, big goiter on her neck.
And she walked around, and he was preaching that night. And he, no, there was an evangelist in the house preaching that night. And she went up for prayer. And he said, "Lady, I'm going to pray for your goiter. God's going to heal you." She said, "Amen." Laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she walked out with the goiter still on her neck. Sunday night in that church was testimony night. So she got up the next Sunday night with the big goiter on her neck. She says, "I want to thank my God for healing me of this goiter." Well, the goiter's still there. Now you see, faith calls those things which are not as though they already are. A healing is progressive. The moment prayer was done, it is yours. Even if you can't see the outward manifestation. The next Sunday night, she got up. "I want to thank my God for healing me of this goiter." It was still there. 6 months went by. Every Sunday night, she kept standing up. "I want to thank my God for healing me of this goiter." About 8 or 9 months into it, the board members pulled the pastor into the office and said, "You know what? Don't you think it's about time you tell her she didn't get it? And to stop giving that testimony on Sunday night?" So the pastor obeyed his board, pulled her in and said, "Ma'am, we know that you're believing in faith, but it hasn't happened. So until it does, we ask that you don't give your testimony anymore." Well, Sunday night rolled around and she stood up and she said, "I cannot not thank my God for healing me of this goiter." As she was saying that, they said you could feel the piercing eyes of the people, especially the board and the pastor, because they told her not to do it. And while they stared at her, the goiter fell off and landed on the floor. When did she get her healing? Not the day the goiter fell off, the day she was prayed for. See, many Christians, we want to see the miracle. And I love miracles. My wife had a miracle. This second bout hasn't been a miracle. It has been a healing. And we've seen so many healings. We've seen so many times that God has come through. She will write about it. The amount of miracles that we have seen that she's still breathing up on the stage right now. But the fact is, it was not the miracle, the instantaneous that we got the first time. I'd rather have the instantaneous. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I'd rather have the miracle. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But the fact is, we didn't get a miracle that time. We got a healing that time. And man, we've been standing strong. Why? Because we know every time hands are laid on her. We know every time that someone speaks into her. We know every time the name of Jesus is released, that healing is going to her cell. That healing is going to her blood. That healing is going to her organs. That miracles and signs and wonders will manifest. And I can't wait for the day. Well, you know. Yeah, we've got a testimony coming, just got to tell you. You got to make a decision. Do you believe in healing, miracles? Do you believe that God has called you to pray for people? You know what's really cool is that unbelievers most of the time get miracles. Those are the funnest people. I don't even know if that's a word. Those are the funnest people to pray for. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, if they're sick, walk up to them at Walmart. I do it. And I get, "Hey, do you mind if I pray for you?" I think I've only been ever turned away once. Ask them if they want to receive Jesus. They'll probably say no. But ask them if they want prayer. They'll probably say yes. And you pray for them. You lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. Release the power of God. Release that anointing. God heals them. Then what are they going to say? Now they got a quandary. Because Jesus just healed them. Now what are they going to say? "Well, I don't believe in God." Duh, you just got healed. The same one that healed you is the same one that wants to save you. You got to make a choice. As a believer, if you don't believe, that's what stops the gospel. Because as Paul said, "I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God." If the church doesn't have a revival with the power of God, I'm not talking here at church. We have miracles, healings all the time here. But I'm talking you. You're the church. Wherever you are. If the church doesn't have this revival, then people are going to perish that don't have to. They just will never have heard. You and I have a great calling on our lives. You are extremely important. Don't minimize who you are in Jesus. Don't minimize who you are in God. Don't use your past to cancel your future. Don't use the lies that people have said to you and about you, disenfranchise you from the purpose and the calling of you being on the planet. It is time to stand up, body of Christ. It is time to be the church like we've never been before. It's time to be bold. It's time to be courageous and to do God's will. And when you do God's will, He needs you. How many of you like to be needed? Brother Ted told my wife, book your schedule really strong, because then God needs you and He can't let you die. I just want to be busy for heaven because I love people. And I believe that God wants to use you. Amen. Turn to someone and say, Jesus wants to use you. You know, I was taught this out at Brother Copeland's, and that is this, that people's memories are only as good as the butt strength of no pain. I don't want to bore you, but I want you to hear me. I am never going to be here as your pastor to say the nice things. It's not that I'm not going to say nice things, but I'm here to tell us the truth. And that is, we got a job to do. We are never going to have seats so plush that your hinies actually make imprints. We are never going to make you so comfortable that everybody just brings their pillow and blanket to the house of God. If you don't ever feel conviction in this house, it's the wrong house. If I'm not pushing you, I'm the wrong pastor. But I want you to know, I believe in who God's called you to be. You have divine purpose. You have reason for your breath. It's time to be the church. Can I hear an amen? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right now it's so important that you recognize that God has a purpose for you. You're breathing, you're here right now. You weren't born 1,000 years ago. You weren't born 20 years from now. You're born for right now, this time, in this season, because God's got a reason for you. Today, if you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know Him, not know about Him, not be acquainted with Him, but know Him. If you're watching online, this is your time, your moment. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not working, in the back, guys. If you're not born again, Jesus said, if you're not born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. I don't care if you were born Pentecostal, I don't care if you were born Catholic. I don't care if you're born Presbyterian or Lutheran. None of those names get you to heaven. There's only one name, the name of Jesus. Today, if you do not know Him, this is your moment. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Amen. And I'm not even going to count today. How do you like that? Pray this with me right out loud. Jesus, my life is not my own. Oh, pray together. I need everybody to pray together. Come on now, we're praying as one body. Ready? As one congregation. Jesus, my life is not my own. I ask you to forgive me that I've lived my life for myself. My life has been given to you. I've been bought with a price. And today, I surrender my life to a new level. I want to do your call. I want to do what you did. I want to act like you acted. I want to bring heaven to earth. So today, as I'm making my decision, I'm conscious, I'm aware, it's a real decision that I will follow you. I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I will share it with my friends. I will share it with my family. I will not only share it, I will live it. And Jesus, I will lay hands on people that are sick in your name. I will speak to the sickness, and I declare they will be healed. In Jesus' name, use my life to bring in this great harvest. I do not want to watch. I want to participate. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give yourselves a hand clap this morning? Why are you giving yourself a hand clap? Because you're going to make your daddy so proud this week. You're going to make your daddy so proud this week. God's going to smile from heaven to heaven, from galaxy to galaxy, as you share the gospel and lay hands on the sick and be used of heaven. Amen? I love you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you. Listen now. Don't forget, Elmira Fest is Friday night. Make sure you're there. We're going to have an awesome time. Bring somebody to Elmira Fest. Have an awesome day.
The presence of the Lord is here.